5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello, welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Wednesday, September 27th of 2023, and the Astros' dreams of winning the American League West are dead. That's it. They blew it. Last night, they blew it. They had a chance. They were going up against the Seattle Mariners team that hasn't been playing well of late. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim actually helped them out with a 9-3 win over Texas. And yet, they lose. They're now, after last night's 6-1 defeat, just half a game up on Seattle for the final wild card spot before Seattle hosts Texas for a 4-game series to end the year. They're not winning the division. I think it's pretty easy to say that right now. You're going to need a lot of help from both Texas and Seattle at the same time. I don't see how it happens now. You made this bet for yourself, and once again, I mean, do you want to just go through the list of all the crap that they put us through last night with a baseball game that started at 9 p.m. and lasted past midnight? God, I hate West Coast baseball games. Let's just go through it all as I'm grumpy this morning. You had the bases loaded in the first. You had one out. And you left with nothing to show for it. Jose Abreu, I don't know how someone can get as many chances with the bases loaded as that man has, but he didn't make it happen. Everybody's favorite, Yiner Diaz, he didn't make it happen. Jose Altuve had a throwing error in the third. Seattle gets its first run. Alex Bregman had a fielding error in the fourth. This team sucks at fielding this year. Another unspectacular and short Christian Javier outing. 4 2/3 innings pitched. He did have 6 strikeouts at least, but 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 earned runs. You know I've been pretty defensive, protective almost, of Dusty Baker. I feel like we do pin a lot of the blame on him, when in reality, it is these players, these pitchers, who are regularly playing underneath their potential. The one thing I will get mad about Dusty is when he brings Rafael Montero in, and as soon as he came into the game, we all knew it was over. But Paul, he's been pitching well of late. Bruh! Some of you baseball-splaining bozos online probably would have told me if you were watching the game with me in person. Oh, 2 outs in the fifth. He just has to get one. That's it. It's Rafael Montero. You paid him all that money because he was good, they thought, for some reason, even though I told them that he sucked in Seattle and he's still the same guy in Seattle. 3 hits, 3 runs scored, 0 outs. Game over. Wait, actually, hang on. You got a chance. Bases loaded. No outs in the seventh. You could still make something happen. I suppose you could get mad at John Singleton pinch hitting for Martin Maldonado as opposed to Michael Brantley. Dusty Baker said Brantley was available, but they felt better about Singleton. I guess he did get the sacrifice fly, but that's all they got out of that. Also, Chaz McCormick might be dead. At the very least, the Seattle Mariners crowd didn't cheer that hit by pitch. 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. 10 left on base. And the Astros were legitimately outshined by some little douche nozzle Mariners fan who decided to throw a ball from the stands at George Kirby and hit him in the chest. That was more impressive than the Houston Astros last night. Now, I don't want to talk about whether or not that guy's going to face any charges. He won't. Or anything else about, you know, how Seattle punishes criminals. I was punished. We were all punished having to watch that last night. And the end result is they're not winning the AL West. So, there you go. Wonderful. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can send a text in as well. Text to 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. You can call it that number as well. The Urge from Bel Air says, Paul, what's more annoying today, Swifties or Mariners? You know what? It's Swifties still. Still, I haven't posted that video yet. I'm not really looking forward to posting that video yet. People are saying I'm not allowed to shave until the Astros win. Maybe I should get a rally cat. Some other rally things. I'm pretty sure I can't say on the air. And now people actually are wanting, Astros fans want me to talk about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I'm not kidding on that front, Sean. I'm not kidding on that front. Multiple texts, multiple Twitch comments. Can we talk about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift instead? I'm sure it's sarcastic, facetious, but boy. From the 832, a texter asks, can Antifa go after Sean for saying the Astros aren't winning the World Series? I mean, Sean, it seems pretty right now.
Yeah, what? Why? I'm not the one that can't, hit with runners in scoring position. That's not on me.
It's not on you.
It's not on me.
You just
they're
said.
Also, it's not like this skid started when I said that they weren't going to win the World Series. No, bozo. They already lost 2 or 3 to the A's, 2 or 3 to the Royals, and then got swept by the Royals again. And that's when I was like, you know what? Some hard-hitting baseball analysis. This team doesn't look ready to play its best baseball right now. Guess what?
And said they weren't going to win the World Series. And guess what? You're right. Also,
you said they're not going to win the division.
Yeah. But I haven't ruled out the World Series quite yet. I need to have a little plausible deniability to keep some of these Astros fans who are diehard.
If they win the World Series, like, Jose Altuve can punch me in the face at the parade.
All right. Well,
I don't think he would, but
I think a lot of Astros fans would like that to happen. So if we can make that happen,
yeah,
for
yeah.
charity.
Well, because last year when the Astros won the World Series, we did Cobos Q. Yeah, we did shows from Cobos Q during the parade. If we do it again, I will show up to the. If we win the World Series again, and we do a show from Cobos Q or anywhere, I will show up and I'll let fans slap me in the face.
Whoa!
I'll let them slap me in the face. Oh,
okay, well.
One slap per person.
I think I'm about to be on Freezing Cold Takes with the Rangers with the division. You're going to be on Freezing Cold Takes for that. I am definitely grabbing that just in case to have in my back pocket okay. for content.
And then in, I don't know.
For content.
3 weeks, you can delete it.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Another text. This is where Yuli would have taken over from the 409. Altuve's overthrow kind of sums up the whole season. 713, the Astros choke and suck more than the Cowboys. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Like, the Astros keep getting to the conference championship, the league championship. We have a thought. Keith, I think, has an idea of what we could talk about instead of the disappointing Astros who aren't going to win the AL West. Keith, what you got?
Hey, Paul, love the show. I think you deserve a third hour, by the way, but I want to give a shout-out to the Houston Dynamo tonight in Miami for the U.S. Open Cup Final. Trophy's been around 100 years. Dynamo are comfortably likely going to make the MLS playoffs as well, playing really well, trophy on the line, Messi's questionable, Jordi Alba's out, but a huge, huge game tonight. Dynamo, U.S. Open Cup Final, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central.
All right, Keith. Well, assuming you don't work for the Houston Dynamo, I think you're onto something here. 713-780-3776. How are the Houston Dynamo going to do against Inter Sporting Milan Miami tonight? You know, here are my three keys to the game. They got to put the ball on the net. You know? They got to shoot the ball on the net. They got to hit it. And no, you can't hit the post. No, you can't miss the net. You have to put the ball on the net. You got to stop them from putting the ball in the net too. And they're gonna have to factor in not just Messi but Rolando and McGunter on Miami. Those guys, they're really good. So hopefully, that guy on the Dynamo, hopefully he's able to make it happen. So there you go. That's been Talking Dynamo. There you go.
I think you can listen to the game on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah.
The thing.
Paul will not be calling it.
No, I just gave more soccer insight than anyone at this station has ever given, except for Glenn Davis. You know, put the ball in the net and do it multiple times and don't let them do that. And don't go off sides. Stay on sides. And don't get any cards. No red, no yellow, no blue, no purple. I don't see color, but I don't want no cards. Okay? But yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. We're talking out of our ass about soccer as opposed to talking about the Astros. I mean, it's just everything went wrong last night. Christian Javier came back to earth a bit after that start last week, and everything that has been a problem for the team this year was on full display. It's Jose Abreu with a bases-loaded opportunity. It's Rafael Montero pitching in the game at all. It's Christian Javier. It's just three guys that got paid, as the bench we're talking about this morning. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. We have another caller on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. This is Mitchell. Mitchell, what's going on?
What's up?
Yo.
I agree with you. I don't like the Swiss fans either, man.
You don't like them either? Why not?
No. I agree with everything you say about them.
You know what? We're gonna use that. We're gonna use that audio clip. We're just gonna play that. We're gonna play that all the time. Now,
don't use Mitchell as cover for your.
I'm gonna use Mitchell. Mitchell said it, and then I went off of what Mitchell said, right? I never actually initiated this. I still haven't posted it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit chicken bleep to post my video of me just calling, Swifties like more efficient January Sixers.
Yeah, you said if Swifties did January 6th, they would have finished the job.
Oh, they would have.
They would have gotten the job done.
We would be living in a matriarchal theocracy, and we would have to sing impromptu a random Taylor Swift song, and if you don't know the words, boom, dead.
You know who's not getting the job done, unlike the Taylor Swift fans?
Who's that?
The Houston Astros.
That's true. So, I mean, you want to weigh in on that. I don't know what else to say other than, like, they're not winning the AL West, and this sucks. What do you want from me?
You're a hater.
No, you know what, Sean?
No, you don't think that they can come back from 2.5 games back with
the magic numbers
four games left.
The magic number's three.
Yeah. It is.
It's three. It's over.
They just had to win tonight and sweep the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
Which, I don't know, when's the last time they've won a series? And then you got to
Exactly.
hope that Seattle wins.
Yep.
Three out of four, right? Does that get you there? I don't know. I don't know what gets you there.
What gets them there? 713-780-3776. Sorry, we're a little bad today. That was BS last night. It's more BS from this team. And I'm so close to being completely out. I'm so close. Sean's shaking his head. I'm so close. I mean, I still think there's a chance they win the World Series. But I'm so close to being out.
How do those two thoughts coexist?
It's a great point. But
fence rider.
Listen, I've been riding that fence for a long, long time.
Yeah.
As someone who has a ranch in the, you know, western Kentucky, this is something I've been doing for a while, young Mr. Mapes. And this is something I'll continue to do. So, yeah, you want to weigh in on it. It's there. I want to talk about something else, but I think some of you guys want to talk about this. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros lost 6-1 to the Mariners last night. The Texas Rangers lost 9-3 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim last night. So, blown opportunity. Magic number for Texas to win the division is now 3 games, and the Astros are just a half game up on the Seattle Mariners for the final wild card spot. Making matters worse, Seattle has the tiebreaker. So things are great. They're fine. On the Twitch, Waka Flocka Buck says that Jim Crane is firing everyone after the season.
After they win the World Series? Or are they not going to win the World Series? That's my question.
Sean, you've already answered that question. You've already answered it. I refuse to answer it, but I am willing to say they're not winning the AL West. That's all. I could tell you 3 guys that Jim Crane isn't firing. Jose Abreu, Christian Javier, Rafael Montero. I guess you can move on from Michael Brantley, who they didn't use in a pinch-hitting situation, even though he theoretically could have been used in a pinch-hitting situation. Actually a reason to get mad at Dusty Baker, in my opinion, even though John Singleton did get a sack fly and technically at least produced a run. 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. I mean, what do you want? 10 left on base. Good God. Some more comments, because now I'm looking for other things to talk about. I'm realizing that this is just bad energy I'm putting out here. From the old text line, can we talk about the Rockets instead? I haven't heard anything new on that front in a while, Eric the Driver. Kevin Porter Jr. is still on this team. He probably shouldn't be. There's an investigation undergoing, done by the NBA. Once it's done, he's probably gone, but the Rockets are still trying to trade him to somebody else. And we also came to find out that Raphael Stone, the general manager of the Rockets, thinks that Kevin Porter Jr., at least at one point he did, could be his James Harden, which is why he made him play point guard all those games. So, that's the latest on the Rockets. Another text. Jesus, this is how bad the Astros have made us. Dynamo talk. Someone called in to talk about the Dynamo. What's next? Comets? Thunder Bears? Arrows coming back? Well, here's what the Astros have just done by potentially not winning the AL West. And potentially not winning the World Series, and potentially not making the playoffs, they would cement the Houston Comets as the greatest dynasty in Houston sports history. That's what's at stake here. Shout out to the Comets.
I think the Comets, even if they win the World Series, if the Astros win the World Series, still have it. Didn't they win like 4 in a row? Like that?
I think they did. And then I think one of Mattress Mack's main competitors bought the team, and they went bankrupt really quickly.
Oh, yeah, because I think that person, like, didn't know that, like, they don't make that much money. They thought that they were just going to, like, print money.
Yeah. That's not good. You don't generally do that.
Yeah, they won 97, 98, 99, 2000.
Incredible. What a run.
Yeah, so Astros, go ahead and win the World Series this year. You won't be a better dynasty than the Comets.
Pour one out. How could we forget the Houston Comets? I mean, here's where we're at. I was debating doing this all show long today as a bit, but now I kind of want to do it seriously. Since he's coming back on Sunday to get inducted into the Texans Ring of Honor, It's J.J. Watt Wednesday! Like, that's what I wanted to do as a joke today, assuming the Astros beat the Mariners, which I thought they would. I thought Christian Javier was going to have a good start. I thought they would score runs. I know George Kirby's a good pitcher, but, I mean, they had him in the first. They had multiple opportunities with the bases loaded.
The Seattle fans were threw a baseball at George Kirby.
The Seattle Mariners fans did more damage to George Kirby than the Astros. That is actually a fact. I bet he has a bruise from that.
Wow. Whoa. Ugh, come on, dude. Bruises like a pear? Peach? Whichever one bruises a lot?
Those.
Did he ask to get pulled out of the game after he got hit by baseball?
You know what?
He's like, I think it's unsafe for me to throw another pitch. Just like it's unsafe for me to throw more than like 95.
Growth. If that was him. Was it George Kirby the last time?
He was the one that complained about being left in a game.
I thought it was him. I wasn't sure if it was him or Logan Gilbert. Okay.
Same thing.
This has been Talking Baseball on the Paul Gallant Show.
I'm pretty sure it was George Kirby because I remember the name Kirby.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head. So let's shift back into talking about J.J. Watt Wednesday.
One thing we know a lot about, J.J. Watt.
We do know a lot about J.J. Watt. Hey, he's going to be back. Serious question, would you go to a Texans-Steelers game? I know a lot of you are still looking at the Texans with a raised eyebrow. Somebody texted in, talk about how the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl like everyone keeps telling me. No one is telling you that. No one actually thinks that. People are excited and happy about the team, but nobody thinks the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl.
Next year they'll win the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm not even going that far, Sean. Sean, making some bold predictions on this show. Some would say they're more bold predictions than my predictions on this show. So, you know what? Watch it. Watch your lip. I don't want you taking this show away from me, Sean Bayless. I don't want that. But if we look at J.J. Watt here, and the idea of going to a game to see him put on a red jacket at halftime, is it worth it? Serious question, because the other thing that you have to feel comfortable and confident, and if you're going to go to a Texans-Steelers game where there's going to be tons of yinzers, Steelers fans in attendance, and likely a lot of free rushes for T.J. Watt, are you going to want to go and see a game where the Steelers potentially burst this bubble of optimism that we have right now just so at halftime you can honor J.J. Watt properly?
Yeah, J.J. will also give a speech probably, I imagine. He'll give a speech. It is funny that they chose the Steelers game for J.J. Watt Day because at one hand, it's kind of smart to be like, hey, listen, the biggest defense we can put for Steelers fans taking over our stadium is maybe Texans fans will come out for J.J. Watt retirement night. Like, that is the card that they have to play. But at the same time, you're also choosing a game that's against his brother, and his brother, one of the best pass rushers in the league, probably one of the handful of defensive players that can probably single-handedly beat the Texans. Like, him by himself could beat the Texans. Like, Kenny Pickett probably doesn't even have to show up, and there are worlds where T.J. Watt just wins the game, and it's like, oh, and now he's going to be fired up because his brother's getting honored at halftime.
They should have done this week. They should have done this for the Colts game.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't do it then.
Or they should have done it. No,
there's going to be more Steelers fans in attendance. Let's just assume that. There's going to be more Steelers fans. I don't think people are fully bought in yet. Pittsburgh fans have probably bought tickets already.
I was going to say, Steelers fans probably bought tickets in the offseason.
Exactly. So with that in mind, I don't know that I'd want to go.
Oh, they should have done it against the Panthers.
Yes, they didn't plan this well.
They should have set it up like, it's at the Panthers. Never mind. But they should have set this up like a homecoming game the next week against the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's when they should have done it.
They should have done it any of these other weeks. I don't know if they did
the Cardinals.
Because,
God, I think they have so many better opportunities to do this.
I feel like, Sean, they did this because T.J. Watt would also be there.
It probably was. Also, J.J. Watt probably wants his brother to be there.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I get it. I get why they did it, but
I don't.
It is funny that they're going to do that and then they'll lose, I don't know, 28-20.
Man, Sean, you're making so many predictions. That's pretty optimistic. From the 281, considering everything he did for the city, yes, JJ would be one of the few players worth seeing. Here's the thing, though. I'm not trying to dump on it, because this is going to be a cool day for JJ Watt. I'm just wondering if this is the kind of place that you would want to go see a player get honored. Don't you almost want to do that outside of the stadium? Because if you're in the stadium, for the most part, you're barely going to be able to see JJ give this speech. As someone who has been going to the press box at NRG Stadium, that thing is as high up as possible. You need binoculars to see all the way down. The top level of that stadium is also pretty high up. If you're in one of the middle levels or something like that, or the front levels, great. I don't know. I don't think you're going to have a great view for this.
Wow, you're really poo-pooing the greatest Houston Texan of all time getting honored at halftime.
I'm not poo-pooing it. I just don't think it's... I feel like giving the guy this Ring of Honor ceremony in the same way that they gave it to Andre Johnson, no offense to Andre Johnson, like, this is the most important player the team's ever had. He is. I mean, he won them their first playoff game. He had 3 Defensive Player of the Year seasons. He had a season where he was almost the MVP. And I don't know that this is going to do it justice, personally. I also barely feel like they've been advertising that it's JJ Watt week. Like, I don't even know if the flagship's doing that. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. In the next segment, some bad news as the Texans play the Steelers on Sunday, because a guy that we've been waiting to be back on the field to protect C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil, it's not looking great. We'll explain why next.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us too.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
So, not great news for the Houston Texans. It sounds like Laremy Tunsil is going to be out on Sunday again with a knee injury. Kept him out week 2, week 3. Online and on the radio, I have seen and heard a lot of people collectively rolling their eyes at this. I think part of it has to do with the 3-year, $75 million contract that he signed. I think another part of it has to do with the amount of games he has played every single season with the Texans. 2019, he played 14 of 16. 2020, he played 14 of 16, but then 2021, played just 5. And now all of a sudden, he's missing a couple of games with injuries after signing that contract. And I think it's only natural for people to start being like, what's really going on here? And at times that can be unfair speculation, but I've seen it enough from people, not to say that I believe it, more to say that it is a pretty strong sentiment that some Texans fans have right now. If it's a knee injury, I'm going to assume it is bad. But that knee injury that he had in 2021 kept him out for a long time. People were wondering if he was going to come back. That season obviously went so far underwater that at a certain point there probably wasn't a real reason to put him back out there. But that's going to be big on Sunday, especially if the Texans are taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hopefully, though, C.J. Stroud, who's had a very good start through 3 games, some people are getting a little bit too pushbacky on the text line on the Twitch. Like, he's looked good. Can we just admit he's looked good? I don't understand what there is to push back with unless you didn't watch it. I don't think you have eyeballs if you don't think he's been good.
No. Well, you kind of said the, unless you haven't been watching part. I think there's a chance people have not watched the first 3 Texans games and just see that Stroud is passing for a lot of yards and thinks that he's, like Blake Bortling it up and down the field.
Blake Bortling, yo. Yikes.
Yeah, where like you look at the game, you look at the stats after the game, you're like, wow, this guy's really moving the ball, but none of it is like meaningful or the game isn't in doubt.
Yeah,
I feel like there might be some of that is, you know, from the outside what people might be thinking.
Okay, I feel like with Stroud, it's not hot numbers, and the optics are better than the numbers.
Yeah,
significantly better than the numbers, in fact.
Yeah, I think he looks like, actually watching the game, you're like, okay, this guy's like pretty good.
He's
like,
incredibly poised under pressure.
Yeah,
he is truly. I haven't seen a quarterback quite like that in to be able to do that right away in a while. Like Joe Burrow, similarities there, but Burrow, we barely saw his rookie year.
When is the last time, and I do agree that he seems very poised for making three starts in the NFL. When's the last time the Texans had a clear or like pretty solid quarterback advantage in a game like they'll probably have against Kenny Pickett?
With Deshaun Watson, I guess the last game Deshaun Watson played, because they were probably going up against, what, the Colts? It was at the end of that. The end of the 2020 season where they were fumbling all the time at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I feel like the Colts probably were starting some schlub.
That might have been Brissett?
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. It might have been Phil Rivers.
Some old quarterback. Yeah. It was probably then. This is the text, though, that we're getting. Like, CJ Stroud is going to single handedly win y'all this game because he's the best QB in history, like everyone keeps telling me. He's like the best quarterback since Tom Brady, like everybody keeps telling me.
Who's telling you that? Like, who? What are you talking
about? Yeah, I think you're crazy, man. I think you're hearing things. But CJ Stroud is now number one for Rookie of the Year. Overtook your boy, Sean, Bijan Robinson. Not a good week for you as a Cowboys fan and as a Texas fan of NFL players.
But I'm also, but CJ Stroud, it's...
Oh, okay.
He's the franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans.
I thought you were a Cowboys fan now.
Yes, I am.
You're a Cowboys and Texans fan.
Do you not agree that having the Texans be good would be good for content? And having them have a franchise quarterback would be good for content?
Oh, my God. Are you a robot? Like, you're just looking at this from a, yes, this is good for content. Yes, I have no emotional attachment to...
No, because you said that I can't have emotional connection to the Texans because I'm a Cowboys fan.
Right, like I don't think you do, because you jump ship.
Okay, then
this show doesn't bandwagon, Sean.
Then I'm super pissed that he's number one in the Week 3 Rookie of the Year.
Overtook Bijan, man. Not a good day.
Wow, crazy.
While we're on the Texans, did anyone see Steven Nelson randomly get mad for no reason? So Steven Nelson in the Texans defense did not play, I guess, a lot of man defense in this past victory. And John Crumpler, who is one of those guys who covers the Texans specifically online, he put out a tweet saying, wow, some interesting next-gen stats. The Texans were really trying to tell Steven Nelson to do what he did best. And Nelson got pissed off and basically said, what, you're trying to say I can't play man? It's very funny. You should go look it up for yourself if you care about the X.
Should have dropped a clown freak or something.
I know. I wish he did.
Every dust up that he has that isn't him, like absolutely, like nuking someone, I'm like a little disappointed. Like, this is just like very normal.
It's on brand.
Yeah, it's just very normal. Like, I'm searching my name on Twitter, kind of response. Like, Sauce Gardner has 8 of these after every bad game that the Jets have. Like, I don't like. Cool, Steven Nelson. Cool.
He's the kind of guy that when there's good-natured ball busting going around in a circle, he's going to say something absolutely horrible that no one laughs at. He gets his balls busted like, oh yeah, well, your mother's been sleeping around. That's, I feel like, his natural reaction. And you know what? He's competitive. He plays to win.
Yeah.
He doesn't play for laughs. He
plays to the end of the whistle. That's what he does.
Assuming that clown freaks pay him the money that he believes he is worth.
Yes, and he doesn't do that, like, against one person, like a one-on-one situation. It's more like he kind of does that to an area of people because that's what he's best at, is zone defense.
He doesn't think that, though. I don't want Steven Nelson coming after this show.
No, he's good. He's good at man defense. He's better at zone.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're admitting.
I don't know why he got mad. It's so crazy.
No one
got mad.
but you know what? I love it.
I don't think Crumpler even tagged him. Like, it's just
Crumpler is upset now.
Oh, he's big mad?
I think he's big mad. Yo, you just got clowned! I love how that always happens. Like, someone brings up a great point. Next thing you know,
got dunked on.
Like, this person just responds with an absolute nothing response. But because they have more of a following, oh, damn, son, you got served.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is actually, like, the king of that.
Yes.
Where he, like the thing he had with
Sean Pendergast.
Yeah. And then he had one, like, during the Thursday night Chiefs Titans game where someone tweeted out, like, I can't believe, basically it was like, I can't believe that DeAndre Hopkins had to, like, call teams begging to be on a team. And they were saying that because Kadarius Toney was dropping every pass that was thrown to him. But he was like,
I know my worth.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, get your shots in now, Tubby, or whatever, to this guy. And he was like, no, he's on your side, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
These players all need to get off the internet. It's so much better when you just don't ever look at anything.
LeBron has it right. Zero dark 30 during the season.
Zero dark 30 your whole life.
You're a millionaire, dude.
You don't need this.
Let us have the Kevin James memes to ourselves.
Exactly. Right? It's bringing you absolutely nothing. Anyway, so one last thing in this NFL segment. Tyreek Hill. We haven't heard from his podcast in a while. And I don't know if this was on his podcast or if he was just doing Twitch. But Tyreek Hill, this is what he wants to do after his playing career is done.
When you retire, you're going to be all over, huh? You're going to be on TV, everything. Huh?
Nah, when I retire, bro, I really want to be a porn star, though, bro. Like, dead serious. Like, you think I got that? No?
Nah, I mean, just do whatever you want, bro. I don't have an opinion on that.
Yeah, bro.
The pause is great.
You could just tell how uncomfortable the other guy is.
Do you think Hill was effing with him or that Hill was being dead serious here? I think he was screwing with him.
I think he was screwing with him, but I do think that there's like, it's the whole thing where every joke, there's like a kernel of truth to it. I think there's a kernel of truth to it. I don't think he'll actually do it. But I do think that he probably thinks that he could, but the reason he's saying it is to make his friend or co-host, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever that is, his hype man, nah, facts. I'm surprised he didn't say, nah, facts.
How do I get that job?
Whoa, what? Whoa, this job's pretty good.
Jabari Smith Jr. Do you want to start a podcast with me?
Oh, you know what? I bet.
Jalen Green. Let's do a podcast.
How about Kevin Porter Jr.? Want to jump on that one? He's looking for somebody
this is a
now.
Collect call from Rikers Island. Hey, it's time. But first, a word for MeUndies.
He's doing it on Zoom from jail. Oh, man. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. I mean, the Astros suck right now, so what do you want from us? I think I actually have a better conversation, and you're going to get so mad at me when I pay this off on the other side, than talking about the Astros losing to the Mariners. Just trust me on this, okay? It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums. Getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them. Fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Astros lost. They're just a half game up on the Mariners for the last wild card spot. The Rangers' magic number is 3. Could have been 2, but guess what? The Angels actually took care of business last night. So the Astros blew an opportunity to be a game and a half back in the AL West and actually give themselves a legitimate chance to win it. I think their chances of winning the AL West are dead. We're looking for things to talk about to distract us from this today. Fishing with Dana on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, can you please update us on the Kelce Swift bromance? I see what you did there. Someone also brought up bad news for Texas A&M. The football Aggies, Connor Wigman, suffered a foot injury. I love how Jimbo Fisher on Monday said, day to day, seems like he'll be fine. He's out for the year now.
Well, welcome to college football injury reporting. Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback, was like supposed to be 50-50 whether he plays the Florida game. He has not played this season and might not play this week. It's crazy that they can just, I mean, this will probably get cleaned up when betting becomes like formally legalized.
Will it though? What are they going to do to these teams? Like fine them?
Yeah, that's the whole reason the NFL has injury reports.
Right, but as someone who grew up a Patriots fan, everyone was listed as questionable every single week. They would put like 20 guys on the report listed as questionable, and half of them wouldn't even be questionable.
I guess. I guess. It just cleans it up a little bit where coaches can't be, he's day-to-day, and then the next day be, he's out for the season.
I suppose.
That just doesn't have, like, you know, Mike McCarthy doesn't do that, or Bill Belichick doesn't do that, where it's like, oh, we hope to have him at the end of the season, and it's like, or, you know, next week, and he's like, no, actually, we won't.
They mess with people. I think these college coaches would like to mess with
people. Also, I feel like this is coming from a New England, like, Patriots fan, where it's like, you know, most teams don't do that.
I assume all teams do.
Most teams aren't that deceitful.
That's when...
No, the Texans think everyone's coming back, and then, like, actually, Laremy Tunsil is out for
three
weeks.
Is why the Texans do it, too, because they got a Patriots guy. This is what you should do. You should just screw with everybody. I mean, I get it. There's gamblers out there, but I don't know. Maybe don't gamble, unless it's with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
God.
What? Anyway, other things than the Astros. Zach Wilson, quarterback of the New York Jets, seems that he is turning the locker room against him merely by existing, which is a tough place to be. This is a report from Rich Simini, who is a Jets reporter for ESPN. Rich said, Robert Saleh is coming off as a Zach Wilson apologist, and that isn't sitting well in the locker room. The Jets defense in particular is not happy. Tensions are rising in the Jets locker room. It could implode any moment. Yeah, duh. There's no Aaron Rodgers. They're screwed. This report continues. The defense knows that if any other player were performing his job the way Wilson is performing his, that player would be benched. Trust me, there's tension in that locker room. I get the sense that this team could be ready to implode. Okay, so that's the obvious thing that we all knew was coming out of the Jets locker room. As someone who covered the Texans back in the 2016 season when they had Brock Osweiler, in retrospect, it's funny. But in the moment, it was uncomfortable going into the locker room and seeing all the defensive players essentially in a corner with Vince Wilfork at the middle of said corner like a godfather of sorts. And it almost felt like they were talking bleep about the offense and then like looking over their shoulder to make sure that nobody was saying anything. And they didn't say anything, but their attitude, their mood, just the way that they seemed to just hate that Brock Osweiler was their quarterback. So that's something that happens. But no one wants to talk about the Jets. No one wants to talk about the Astros today either. So let's talk about the obvious option for the New York Jets. Let's talk about the guy that can fix it all, and who reemerged on the national scene yesterday. I'm, of course, talking about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick wrote let's count the paragraphs here, 11-paragraph letter to the New York Jets, complete with references at the bottom, Chip Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, and Mark Davis. Mark Davis is the interesting one. Asking for him to be put on the Jets practice squad. That's all he's asking. I know that Trevor Siemian has been brought in as well, but this one's fun. If you're a Jets fan, wouldn't you want this? This would not work. Don't get me wrong. There is no way this would work. I don't think he's even relevant enough to create a side story in the locker room anymore. Truly. I don't think he matters anymore.
I think if he played football, it would matter.
I don't, Sean, because I don't think he would get on the field.
Well, yeah. I thought you meant to, like, actually replace Zach Wilson. I was going to say, like, that would make news if a guy who hasn't played in 7 years plays.
I want this to happen.
I mean, why not?
If I were a fan, look, Zach Wilson is the rare exception where you actually could argue a guy who hasn't played football in 8 years is better. He is. Wilson is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Truly. It's not just that he's careless with the football. It's also, he doesn't know what he's doing out there. And he's tiny looking, and there's just so many things that are adding up against him. He's this guy from BYU in the bright lights of New York City. Just probably not going to work from that perspective alone, with all this scrutiny and negativity in that place. So if I'm a fan of that team, I would say F it. Yeah, even if I was like the most troopiest troop supporter there is, I think I would be like, yeah, I mean, but it sucks. So screw it. Let's just do this. Let's just do this. So do you guys want to talk about Colin Kaepernick instead of the Houston Astros? 713-780-3776 to call it, to text it. You could join up to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Or on Twitter, at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes. We're looking for alternative things to discuss that the Houston Astros, who are not winning the AL West today, please give them to us. We did show prep today. We did it. But no one wants to talk about this today. Everyone wants to kind of move on because that's sort of what this sports town is. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.